it over to Sarah.
Thanks, Joe. Hi, I'm Sarah Malade.
Hi, Sarah.
I've not been looking forward to this. I have to say, I'm really nervous, and it certainly doesn't come naturally to me to sit here in front of all of you people and talk and try and talk honestly and openly. I have spoken to my sponsor today and yesterday, and she advised me to ask God to guide my words, and that's what I've done. And, you know, I know that there is a loving higher power here with us in this room today. And when I was looking around the room, I noticed that actually there's quite a few people here who were at my very first meeting. And to me, that's kind of proof of the fact that this program works, that, you know, those people are still here and that I'm still here too. And that was about just under 4 years ago that I went to my first meeting. And, God, well, a lot of things have changed in those 4 years. Certainly 4 years ago, I wouldn't have been able to sit up here, even though I'm not enjoying it now. I guess, I went to that first meeting and someone did what I'm trying to do now, which was they carried the message, and I got a lot of hope from that message. And in fact, that person's in the room today. I've never spoken to them, funnily enough, but you know, I heard a message from them. I guess, you know, I didn't need to speak to them, and I did leave the meeting early on that particular occasion. But yeah, I guess that was something else I learned to do, was to sit through an entire meeting, because that took a lot of learning and patience. God, what can I say? I guess I'm nervous and I'm scared because I do have a real fear of being judged. I have a deep-rooted fear of not being good enough. I mean, I don't know what exactly could go wrong from sitting up here, like what I could do that would be so terrible. But, you know, I guess I'm scared. That's the truth. And I think that fear can hold me back from doing a lot of things. And in my recovery, I've really tried to fight that fear. And although getting clean and being clean has been the greatest blessing in my life, it has also, you know, it showed me a lot of other things. It showed me how scared I can be. It's kind of, you know, it showed me a lot of things that I was running from and hiding from in my active addiction. And, you know, I've kind of had to face the fear and look at those things. And with the love and guidance of a sponsor and my friends in NA, I'm slowly doing that. I'd like to say, I guess some of the joys of recovery, I'm currently doing an access course at college, and I hope to go to university in September, and that was something I was absolutely terrified of. I did go to college when I was using, and that was just total disaster. You know, if I actually managed to get to college, I would use when I was there. Needless to say, I dropped out and I didn't complete my course. So it's kind of like I've been given a new chance at life, a new chance to find myself, discover what it is that I like. I didn't really know what I liked before. So it's been an interesting journey trying to find me, I guess. And not all the time, but some of the time, you know, I'm happy to be me. And that's massive. That's a massive achievement. I couldn't sit in my own skin. I couldn't be still. I couldn't be okay. You know, I was just constantly thinking about drugs. I was constantly thinking about how I was going to get drugs. My life, I was just consumed by it. I was consumed by it. I destroyed my family in the process. And even, you know, nearly 4 years down the line, there's still repercussions of that are felt within my family. But I'm able to, slowly, I've been able to make indirect amends. Not so long ago, I was able to make, you know, my step 9 direct amends to both my mum and my dad. And that was pretty amazing. Yeah, my dad was kind of quite dismissive of it, actually. And he was just, oh, no, don't worry about it, don't worry about it, it's fine. and we were a bit embarrassed and, like, it was a little bit awkward. But, you know, with my mum, it was kind of a really beautiful experience. And I asked her, you know, what was it like for you? And that's never something I ever thought about, you know, when I was using or when I was, you know, basically stealing from her handbag. You know, in my house, it got to the point where my mum used to walk around the house. If I was in the house, she walked around the house with her handbag over her shoulder because she knew she couldn't leave it unattended because, it, you know, the purse wouldn't be there. And the same with my dad. He used to keep his wallet in his trouser pocket instead of in his jacket pocket because I would take it. And so, yeah, needless to say, things weren't particularly pretty in my house. And I asked my mum what it was like for her, you know. What was it like having a teenage drug-addicted daughter? And, you know, and on into my early 20s. And she said it was terrifying and that she never knew what she was going to come home to. She didn't know if I would have killed myself, either accidentally or on purpose. You know, she was constantly worried about me. And I guess as an addict, that's the effect that I had on my family, that I didn't care. So anyway, I guess what I was trying to say is that, you know, I was able to sit in the park with my mum at about 3 years clean and ask her what it was like for her, and to tell her from the bottom of my heart how truly sorry I was. But most importantly, I was able to really mean it, because I always, you know, I'm sorry. You know that, oh, fuck. No, I won't swear, sorry. You know, that leave me alone kind of, just to get someone off your back. Like, yeah, I took the money, I'm sorry, kind of thing. Or, yeah, I did that, sorry. You know, it was, I really am sorry. And also, I had 3 years of being clean behind me, if that makes sense. I had 3 years of being honest with my mum. I had 3 years of doing what I said I was going to do, turning up, trying to be supportive, trying to look at it from her point of view. You know, because before that, my words were always totally, well, they didn't mean anything, you know. They actually couldn't mean anything. Before I stopped using, my mum actually said to me, you've died inside and I don't think you're ever coming back, you know. And that, I wasn't even that bothered. You know, whatever, just get out of my way. I'm trying to get out the door, like. You know, I hated that, interventions. People were trying to block the door. That was the worst thing. And my mum told me that today she feels, not only does she not have to worry about me, that, you know, whatever life throws at me, I'm going to be able to handle it. You know, and life does throw things at us. That's just normal. Recovery can't just be amazing all the time, because life isn't amazing all the time. And I find it really hard sometimes to live clean. And I think, you know, sometimes I get really angry. I think, God, I want to drink. I want to go home and have a spliff. I want to, you know, do things that I deem that other people's, you know, it's normal or something. And I think, you know, I want to go out and I want to do this and that. But the realism is that, yeah, maybe it could have been fun for me to begin with, but I wouldn't be sat here if it was still fun when I came to my first meeting all that time ago. When I came to my first meeting, I was incredibly pale and underweight, you know. But I was just broken. Thanks, Shay. I was totally broken. I was totally empty. I was lost. I just wanted to kill myself, literally, on a daily basis. I just, you know, drink and take drugs into oblivion. I would pass out all over the place, just wake up random places. You know, it was awful. It was awful. I'd fantasise about killing myself. You know, and so I had this fantasy as well that somehow I was going to, like, I was going to throw myself out of the window, but land in a way so that I didn't actually kill myself, but I hurt myself really badly, and then they'd have to take me away and put me in hospital for at least 3 months and look after me. Like, that's how desperate I was. Like, I wanted to be looked after. I wanted to be... I had this... To me, this little light of hope was to be put in a hospital ward, and to, and everyone would feel sorry for me and bring me grapes, and, you know, I just... You know, and that was... That was, I guess, my aspirations. That was my dreams and aspirations when I was using to be in hospital. So I wasn't living a very happy life, basically. And I wasn't a very nice person to be around. I was a thief and I was a liar. And I was incredibly selfish. I can still be very selfish today, I'm sure. But I do... think today about the consequences of what I do and the effect it will have on the people I love and my family and my friends. You know, like I said, I'm at college and I'm really enjoying it. It's a massive challenge. It brings up a lot of stuff for me about not being good enough. You know, and sometimes I think, oh, I won't do it. It'll be easier to just not do it. But I guess this teaches me to just to do it anyway. I have a lovely relationship with my family. Well, lovely-ish, as lovely as can be, I guess. And I would say that my family have benefited greatly from NA as well, not just in the obvious sense of they have their daughter back. You know, they have a daughter who doesn't use drugs and she's, you know, responsible and all the rest of it. That... You know, NA has a ripple effect on all of those around us, directly and indirectly. You know, and I know my mum reads the... I know she reads the books when I'm not there. Something she says, but I know she does. I'm just like, what? What did you just say? You know, you know, even my dad, I can see he... You know, I won't go into it. That's how he is, but... There's been a change in him as well. His approach to life and his opinions and his views have changed because he saw his daughter go to hell and back. And, you know, when you witness these things, you know, they can change you. And, so thanks to NA, really. And, thanks to NA and thanks to you all for being here. Thank you.